Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin, my name is Ram Goldrand, and I'm with Zechus Bab Basra, Daf Hey, the first parak Hashu Tafin. This parak has been generously sponsored with Zechus Nishmas Avram Ben Yitzchak. May his neshama have an aliyah, and as a schus for Rufua Shlema for Alter Ben Sion Wolf Ben Sipora. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Kosel Chaser Shenafel, if a courtyard wall between neighbors fell, we obligate each one to build it up to a height of Dalad Amos, which is sufficient to block them from seeing into the other's chatzer. After it's built, each neighbor is presumed to have contributed to the wall until the other brings proof that he did not contribute. Since it's well known that each must contribute, we assume that neither would have built it alone. The Mishnah continues that we do not force him to contribute toward a height above Dalad Amos, even if the original wall was taller, since it's not necessary for privacy. If one neighbor did add to the height on his own, then the other neighbor built another wall nearby to build a roof across both walls, we obligate him to contribute to the additional height of the first. However, since this chiyuv is not so well known, he's presumed not to have paid for it until he proves that he did. Point number two, Reish Lakish says, "So kaveyas manu chavero, if one sets a time for his friend to repay his loan, and when the due date arrives, the borrower claims he paid before it was due, he's not believed. If only people would at least pay on time." The Gemara later explains that he holds chazaku avid inish to parag begozimne. There's a presumption that a person does not pay a debt before its required time. Abai and Rava say that a person does occasionally pay debts early because sometimes money becomes available to him, and he says, "I'll go and pay him early, so he'll not bother me when the due date arrives." The Gemara will conclude that the halacha follows Reish Lakish, and we rely on this chazaka even to collect from Yesomim without a Shavua, where the borrower died before the loan was due, even though one must ordinarily swear to collect from Yesomim. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Tvo Lachazman, if he sued the borrower to pay him after the time was due, and the borrower, who would have been believed to say he paid on time, instead said, Pratich Matokazmani, I paid you within my allotted time before it was due, is he believed? Miyam Rinam B'makam Chazaka Mali L'Shaka, do we apply the logic of, why should I lie, and believe the borrower in the face of a Chazaka that people do not pay early? Or perhaps we do not apply the logic of, why should I lie in the face of a chazaka that people do not pay early, since his claim is not credible? The Gemara will attempt several proofs on the next daf and deflect them, leaving the question unresolved. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Kotzel Chatzer Shenafel, if a courtyard wall between neighbors fell, Machayvin Osaliv Noso Ad Arba Amos, we obligate each one to build it up to a height of Dalad Amos, which is sufficient to block them from seeing into the other's Chatzer. Bechezka Shenasen Ad Sheyavirai Shonasen. After it's built, each neighbor is presumed to have contributed to the wall until the other brings proof that he did not contribute. Since it's well known that each must contribute, we assume that neither would have built it alone. The Mishnah continues that we do not force him to contribute toward a height above Dalad Amos, even if the original wall was taller, since it's not necessary for privacy. If one neighbor did add to the height on his own, then the other neighbor built another wall nearby to build a roof across both walls, we obligate him to contribute to the additional height of the first. However, since this chiyuv is not so well known, he's presumed not to have paid for it until he proves that he did. Point number two, Reish Lakish says, "So kaveyas manu chavero, if one sets a time for his friend to repay his loan, and when the due date arrives, the borrower claims he paid before it was due, he's not believed. If only people would at least pay on time." The Gemara later explains that he holds chazaku avid inish to parag begozimne. There's a presumption that a person does not pay a debt before its required time. Abai and Rava say that a person does occasionally pay debts early because sometimes money becomes available to him, and he says, "I'll go and pay him early, so he'll not bother me when the due date arrives." The Gemara will conclude that the halacha follows Reish Lakish, and we rely on this chazaka even to collect from Yesomim without a Shavua, where the borrower died before the loan was due, even though one must ordinarily swear to collect from Yesomim. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Tvo Lachazman, if he sued the borrower to pay him after the time was due, and the borrower, who would have been believed to say he paid on time, instead said, Pratich Matokazmani, I paid you within my allotted time before it was due, is he believed? Miyam Rinam B'makam Chazaka Mali L'Shaka, do we apply the logic of, why should I lie, and believe the borrower in the face of a Chazaka that people do not pay early? Or perhaps we do not apply the logic of, why should I lie, in the face of a chazaka that people do not pay early, since his claim is not credible? The Gemara will attempt several proofs on the next daf and deflect them, leaving the question unresolved. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Hey, and our standard Siman is Hey or a Haystack. So here goes. The man who was believed when he said he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high using bricks made of ground hay was not believed when he told his creditor on the due date of his loan that he paid before the loan was due, since it's a chazaka people don't pay debts early, and was told by a hay salesman passing by that even if he made such a claim after the loan was due, he would not be believed, since b'makom chazaka lo amrina maligo shaker. The man who was believed when he said he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high, using bricks made of ground hay. Hey, that must be learned off. Hey. The man who was believed when he said he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high, using bricks made of ground hay. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kotso chasu shenafel, if a courtyard between neighbors fell, mechavinos leave noso ad arba amos, we obligate each one to build it up to a height of Dalai Lama's, which is sufficient to block them from seeing into the other's chatzir. After it's built, each neighbor is presumed to have contributed to the wall until the other brings proof that he did not contribute. Since it's well known that each must contribute, we assume that neither would have built it alone. So the man who was believed when he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high, using bricks made of ground hay, was not believed when he told his creditor on the due date of his loan that he paid before the loan was due, since it's a chazaka people don't pay debts early, which reminds us, Reish Lakish says, HaKoveh Zman HaChaver, one sets a time for his friend to repay his loan, and when the due date arrives, the borrower claims he paid before it was due, he's not believed. Halavai Sheyifra Bezmano, if only people would at least pay on time. The Gemara later explains that he holds it's a chazaka that person does not pay a debt before its required time. Abai and Rava say that a person does occasionally pay debts early because sometimes money becomes available to him. So the man who was believed when he said he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high using bricks made of ground hay was not believed when he told his creditor on the due date of his loan that he paid before the loan was due, since it's a chazaka people don't pay debts early, and was told by a hay salesman passing by that even if he made such a claim after the loan was due, he would not be believed, since b'makom chazaka lo amrina maligo shaker. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Tavo Lachrizman, if he sued the borrower to pay him after the time it was due, and the borrower, who would have been believed to say he paid on time, instead said, I paid you within my allotted time before it was due, is he believed? Miyamrin b'makom chazaka maligo shaker? Do we apply the logic of why should I lie and believe the borrower even in the face of a chazaka that people do not pay early? Or dilma b'makom chazaka l'amrin maligo shaker? Or perhaps we do not apply the logic of why should I lie in the face of a chazaka that people do not pay early, since his claim is not credible. So once again, the man who was believed when he said he paid his fair share in rebuilding the wall that collapsed in a shared courtyard up to Dalai Lama's high using bricks made of ground hay was not believed when he told his creditor on the due date of his loan that he paid before the loan was due, since it's a chazaka people don't pay debts early, and was told by a hay salesman passing by that even if he made such a claim after the loan was due, he would not be believed, since b'makom chazaka lo amrinan maligo shaker. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Yotes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yotes is a kite. So here goes. When the Persian king saw a kite, that must mean one Daf Kuf Yotes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, which reminds us. The Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. In the second braisa discussing Orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or their roots, are subject to Orla because they're considered to be independent growth. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mina geza putter, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from Orla because it's considered part of the original tree. Mina shrashi mechai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to Orla." So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing up a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to entangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Ches on a base, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualified this, provided that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. If the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within the reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots, and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirion Nimtie, to that beautiful kite, which reminds us, a friend, the scribe, Talmud Reish Lakish, said in Reish Lakish's name that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim. He said, "Apriya nimtiye, or Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon." Daf Beis. So the simon Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. The owner run the house's house. That must run Daf Beis, bais, house. The owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, which reminds us, the opening mission states, Ashutafim shiratzu lasus mechitzu b'chatzur, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly, bonus lakosu b'emsa, build the wall in the center with half the wall on each partner's land. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, which reminds us. The Gemara analyzes the first clause of the Mishnah and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a Mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agreed to do so. But if one partner wants to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Alma Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, we see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks that perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because Hezek Ria is considered damage. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, and explained that the wall their neighbors built between their gardens was less than neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara, which reminds us, the Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built, one of them being a gina, a garden requires a wall because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop lest he harm it with Ayin Hara. Daf Gimel, so the similar Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. When the partners of the camel rental business, camel, that must be on Daf Gimel, gamal. When the partners of the camel rental business divide their lot, making a kinyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, which reminds us, Rav Asi explained in the Gemara's second version that the partners divided a property, k'she'im ba din chaluka, which was not subject to legal division, which means it was too small for either to demand a division, but they agreed to do so. The Gemara asks, but let them retract since a mere verbal agreement to divide the chatzar is not binding. Rav Asi said the cases where this one went into his half of the chatzar and performed a kinyan chazaka, and this one went into his half and performed a kinyan chazaka. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a kinyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraksin in the first base of Mikdash, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a wall of gazis, plain stones, which is 4 amas tall, must be 5 tefachim wide. The Gemara wonders if this is the necessary ratio because the Amatraksin, the wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kadashim in the first base of Mikdash, was 30 amas high, but only 6 tefachim wide. The Gemara answers that the extra tefach was enough to support a much higher wall. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a kinyan chazak for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraksin in the first base of Mikdash, but were told the materials were needed to rebuild the camel driver's shul next door, which was being demolished and rebuilt due to the cracks seen in the building, which reminds us, Rav Chisda said, "Walister inish be kanishna, a person may not demolish a shul adabani be kanishna achariti until he has built another shul to replace it." Some say this is because of pshia, negligence, that a new shul may not be built, and some explain it's because of tsluye, a place for davening in the interim. The Gemara qualifies Rav Chisda's law, chazibat yua. If they see cracks in it and it may collapse, they may demolish it and then build another. Daf dalet, so the simmer daf dalet is a delet, a door. So here goes. The door maker, that must be on Daf Dalet, Delet, door. The door maker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, which reminds us, after Herod's murderous rise to power from slavery, Herod killed all the rabbis because he disqualified a slave from being king. He spared Baba Ben Vuta to seek his advice, but blinded him. After attempting to trick Baba into cursing him and finding that he would not, he regretted having killed the rabbis and asked Baba how he could achieve atonement. Baba told him, "Hu kibay or sholom, he extinguished the light of the world by killing the Talmid Chachamim, since Torah is compared to light. Yelk v'yasuk bo or sholom, he should go and occupy himself with restoring the light of the world by rebuilding the base of Mikdash, which is also compared to light." So the door maker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will. Which reminds us, the Gemara wonders how Bhavaviputta could provide advice to Herod to help him attain forgiveness, since Daniel was punished for helping Nebuchadnezzar. Two answers are given. Number one, Shani Avdat Yechayiv Mitzvahs, a slave like Herod is different since he is subject to some mitzvahs and so may be assisted in attaining forgiveness. And number two, Shani Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is different, Diyu HaMalchus L'Mispinei, because without the king undertaking the project, it would not be built. So the doormaker delivering an ornate door for a temple ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will, got a call from a man who wanted to order a door for a fence he just put in after his neighbor who surrounded him had already fenced in three sides. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, if one surrounds his friend's field on three of its sides and fence those three sides, the inner neighbor is exempt from paying. Rabbi Yossi says, Im amad v'gadar es raviz, if he, the inner neighbor, arose and fenced the fourth side, magalgal nilav es hakol, we place on him the obligation to contribute to all the fences. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we discuss partners building a wall when dividing their jointly owned chatzer? That's on daf. Base. Good. Number two, which daf do we have a machlokes whether habat behefker is kona, whether watching ownerless property acquires it? That's on daf. Good. Number three, which daf do you discuss whether in the lieu of the chazak, the people don't pay their debts early, whether we apply the logic of mali l'shaker? That's on daf. Hey. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn that Rabbi Shimon holds that the owner of the higher garden owns whatever he can reach? That's on daf. Kufya test. Good. Number five, which daf do we learn about Bava ben Buta advising Herod to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? That's on daf. Dalad. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss when a partner is believed to say he contributed towards the building of a wall? That's on daf. Hey. Good. Number seven, which daf do you the case of one partner marking the border of his wall with wooden pegs, which is a seeming proof that Hezek real loves Shmei Hezek? That's on daf. Base. Good. Number eight, which daf do you when Reish Lakish holds that's chazak and the people do not pay their debts before they are due? That's on daf. Hey, good. Number nine, which daf do we learn that there are three tanaim who hold that where the chamin give rishus to do something and it leads to damage the person that's butter, such as the oven on fire? That's on daf. Kufya ches and bavmitsia. Good. Number 10, which daf do we have a case of one fencing in the fourth side of his field when his neighbor already fenced in three sides? That's on daf. Dalad. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Golder from Zichu Vishnir. Great day and great learning.